a train coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill, Matt Butler. Not quite the Christmas train, but I love the connection. Oh, yeah. You have to forgive me, folks. I'm looking at pizzas online. The texters to this show, Matt, they're heaven. They're absolutely heaven. I hear that train a-coming. There's a cautionary tale and a sad story. No. A texter says, mynorthwest.com says Seahawks tickets was yesterday. I will tell you right now, I verified a moment ago because someone else texted they had trouble. What you want to do is type in on any search engine, mynorthwest.com/win. Excuse me. And if you get to the My Northwest page, just go to the events and calendar section. And it will take you right to a little box on the bottom that has your chance to win Seahawk tickets. There's a wonderful graphic. We must have spent 30, 40 seconds putting the graphic together. It's got a football on the Cairo News Radio logo right there for you. And you click on that, and it's a little form you fill out with your email address, some information. Your option to have these contests sent to you so you never have to miss them. It's completely optional. And then you enter to win. And we'll draw four winners from today's entries. So the last thing we want to do is make it hard on you. Believe me, we want you to win. The cautionary tale I was talking about was a young athlete in college down at the University of Florida. And the name is what caught my attention when I saw this backup quarterback who was arrested for... It's hard to even say for child pornography on his computer. And the young gentleman's last name is Kitna. And he's the son of former Seahawk quarterback John Kitna and his wife Jennifer. And, you know, the kid had pictures on his phone of what turned out to be models who were underaged. And he's now suspended from the University of Florida Gator football program. He's going to be back home with his parents in Texas. Under parental supervision, not allowed to even have internet access. And I say it's a cautionary tale. I'm not passing judgment on the young athlete, on young Kitna, in any way, shape, or form. I think it's a cautionary tale that we can all share with ourselves and our kids about, what's out there on the internet. What's out there for all of us, our kids, too. You know, I saw a study the other day about it. There's a test that popped up in one of my feeds. I was online shopping probably. And because I'm not often in the craft section of the internet, you know. But a quiz came up about, is your child ready for their first phone? And I thought that's a pretty helpful tool for a parent these days. Because every parent has that moment where their kid, is yammering for access to a phone. Their friends have phones at school. What's the right age to get your kid a phone? And there are, lots of ways to get into that world. If you're a parent with a kid who's about that age, if you're a parent with a kid that's already has their first phone and already is into that arena, there are guidelines that you can put in place for their safety. We were very lucky in my house, at least... Maybe we were very ignorant in my house. I don't know. Hadn't really had a lot of issues with that. Our older daughter was just before the era of, everybody's got a phone. She's a little bit older than that. Our younger child, smack dab in the middle of everybody's got access all the time. And I've got a first cousin, incredibly computer savvy, who let their kid know that they weren't going to monitor everything on their phone, but they had access to everything on their phone. Every program that kid's phone opens, every text you take, every surf you make, I'll be watching you, everything that kid's phone does, The parents had the code and the passwords to their accounts and said, look, I'm not going to watch everything you do, but I can, and I want you to know it's for your own good to keep you out of danger. There are people out there posing to be people that they're not. It's catfishing, right? So they call when you pretend you're somebody you're not. I think that's probably the least dangerous level of internet, you know, fraud is catfishing. I think that's, you know, dating somebody who doesn't look anything like their photo. I don't know. Pretending they're somebody they're not. But that's how predators work too, man. And I bring up this tale. Somebody texted Huddle to our text line, 888-973-5476. That won't get you in to win. I need you to go to mynorthwest.com/win. So we really do want you guys to not miss out on the chance to go to the game. You know, the child pornography thing hangs around forever. You know, I am not speaking from personal experience. I can promise you that. I was lucky. I was beyond the age.
And part of it, too, is that you get young people as they get to dating age and they get into relationships and they want the person to like them.
Right.
So they start sending pictures and the other person asks for a picture that's indeed. Like this happens where young people, minors, have actually been convicted as sex offenders for sending or receiving those pictures.
From somebody you're liking or trying to date.
Yeah. Right.
Right. We used to send notes in class. These guys send pics. You know, and it's somebody says on texting, you're right. It's a brave new world. It's a horrifying new world for parents these days. It's a dangerous new world for kids these days. And, you know, kids are going to be kids are going to be kids. We are all, you know, curious. We're all adventurous. We're all pushing. We talked about pushing the boundaries, you know, about parents putting up guardrails, kids testing the fences. And this area right here is where it's most important as parents that we do this. You know, I've got a niece who fell in with some online friends, you know, kids that were not part of their social circle in any way, shape, or form. But these kids were terrible, and these kids were violent. And my niece, my sister had to literally say, look, take the phone. So you have lost your access because we asked you to not associate with these certain group of people. Their online habits were horrific. Behavior had become a problem. That was their first clue. Something was up. Something out of the normal was up. And so now my niece has, again, gained, through trust and accountability and responsibility, full access to their social media and the internet, but with full knowledge that my sister can at any time check in and look at everything that phone has gone, everything that phone has gone and done, everything she's done. It's tough. And seeing this story break out, you know, I got to spend quite a bit of time with John Kitna when he was a Seahawk. Great, great guy. You know, not an overachiever in the NFL, not a Hall of Famer by any way, shape, or form, but, you know, guy was a pro athlete. That's tough to pull off. And you know, married, wonderful family. His kid gets he's an NCAA athlete. G. Scott's son's an NCAA athlete. That's not easy to do. You know, they say, you know, only 1% of NCAA athletes become pros, but you know, only 1% of high school athletes become NCAA athletes.
I don't know offhand. How old is his son? Do you know?
Kitness? I think 19.
Okay.
Yeah. Underclassman. You know, the images he was probably sharing online with friends. There was some social media sharing of different images. His attorney, I believe, tried to get it knocked down to, what was it, instead of child.
Corruption of a minor?
What's that?
Corruption of a minor, perhaps?
Well, no, there was a terminology of it instead of calling it pornography. You know, the titillation or something. I forget.
Indecency.
Yeah, there was some technical term. It was a lesser crime. Because the kid, you know, thought that the images were of adults. You know, it's tough, man. And that's, of course, that's the defense anybody says. Who knows? I hope for the best. But that can be a life-changing decision. You know, we talk to our kids about the decisions you make on the internet and about the ridiculous expectation of privacy on the internet. Forget it. It doesn't exist. Everything you type is in there somewhere. It's out there somewhere. It's on somebody's server. It's in somebody's memory. Everything you delete from your phone, somebody still got it. You know, every website you visit, it's in there somewhere. Forensic phone, forensic computer extraction. I've got a friend who was a computer. He was the computer guy at a radio station I used to work at for a different company. His background was in computer forensics. He's the one to let me know. Said, dude, it's all in there forever. Forever. You know, you remember hearing stories about the Clinton administration, you know, destroying hard drives, bleaching hard drives or whatever it was. It was Hillary, you know, down there with a bucket and a sledgehammer at the end of the day, destroying her phone and all the records of her 30,000 emails, whatever. That is actually standard procedure for like folks like the Secret Service and government employees, because you can't get rid of files and records on computers. You can't. And there comes a point in every administration, every government agency, where you get new equipment or you leave office and you destroy these things, because you can't just hit erase or delete and expect them to be gone. And for your kids, it's the same thing. I told both my kids, if you don't want it on a billboard across the street from your mom's house, don't go there on your phone or send it to a friend, because that's the same level of privacy you can expect. A billboard across the street from your mom's house. You don't want that up there, right, for mom's every time she opens the door? Then don't go there or send it on your phone. Anyway, it made me sad to see the name pop up in such a story. I hope for the best. Yeah, somebody texted in, everybody with Jenny Durkin. Yeah, that one, that's a mind boggler. How the chief of police, Carmen Best, and the mayor of Seattle, Jenny Durkin, these guys can just wipe like 6 weeks worth of texting on their phones, their government issued phones. No, I'm sorry. No, that's not the way it's supposed to go. And you know, it's not supposed to go that way. Same thing can be said about the January 6th Secret Service. You guys deleted texts from January 5th and 6th, really? And the Inspector General for Homeland Security was asked to preserve these records and failed to do so, really? Now, I'm not pointing a finger at either party on that one. That's just malfeasance. That's just incompetence bordering on criminality, I think, in that regard. Same thing with the mayor of Seattle and the police chief of Seattle. These are public records. You work for us. Those are our phones. On all those cases, they work for us. That's like Captain Clam Dip taking all taking his work home to Mar-a-Lago. That's our stuff. It's not your stuff. Ex-President Trump, not Captain Clam Dip. I'm show some respect for the criminal in charge. I used to be in charge. We keep referring back to Dave Chappelle and the set he did opening Saturday Night Live during this very controversial performance last month. And he was talking about former President Trump. And he said, I've been fired from jobs and I stole stuff from work, staplers, copy paper, coffee mug. You know what I didn't steal from work? Work. I'm like, yeah, duh. Who the hell takes work home? Yeah, that was, and comedy will tell you the truth, man. That's how you get people to see the other side, is with comedy, because there's a grain of truth in every little popcorn pop of comedy. It pays out. Somebody pointed out Pete Townsend went down for child porn. He didn't go down for child porn. And a poor choice of words, by the way, Texter. I appreciate this. They did find images on Pete Townsend's computer. And one of my heroes, Pete Townsend, one of my heroes. And he was saying that it was for research. He was writing and he was looking for inspiration in images. And that's some pretty thin ice to go skating upon as your rationale for having images on your computer. It's weird. As we as a society evolve into this new era where anything we want to know or anything we want to see is available to us. Matt, you're probably a little too young to have experienced this, but you're not too far behind me. But if you wanted to see images of the world, of Egypt or Africa or the Amazon or Antarctica, you either had to have an Encyclopedia Britannica in your house or you had to go to the library and do some research there.
Right.
These days, it's in every phone. Every phone in America has every image of every corner of the planet, even the corners that's up somebody's skirt, is in that phone. It's easy to find. So when do you start giving your kids the keys to every door on the planet? You better arm them with information at least, if not guardrails, right? Texters, you guys rock my world. Speaking of Dave Chappelle, are there? Yes, Dave Chappelle's monologue was he went up to the cliff of the anti-Semitism canyon and looked over. I don't think he jumped.
But
I think
he just pushed himself over.
Oh my gosh! Oh, how does that even? If you haven't heard this story yet, of course you heard that Ye, if the artist formerly known as a billionaire, and. Who's the other one? I haven't committed his name to memory, and I'm glad. Fuentes?
Nick Fuentes.
Nick Fuentes, yeah. The white supremacist.
Yes, the actual Holocaust denier.
And the other one, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Milo Yiannopoulos. George, he was so bad, he got kicked out off of Breitbart.
Was it George Papadopoulos was the one from Vacation, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, Milo and, Fuentes and Ye are going down to Mar-a-Lago for Thanksgiving dinner because, anybody can just pop by to see a former president. Security doesn't bother with that. Anyhoof. So Ye was on with, I can't believe he still has a radio show, Jones.
Again, it's on the internet. He can pretty much put anything he wants on the internet. But here is a brief clip of him on the Alex Jones show.
Oh, you got some. Go ahead.
You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone, and Jewish people are not going to tell me you can love, us, and you can love what we're doing to you with the contracts, and you can love what we're, what we're pushing with the pornography. But this guy that invented highways, invented the very microphone that I use as a musician, you can't say out loud that this person ever did anything good. And I'm done with that. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
Yeah, that guardrail behind you that you jumped over, that's where you were supposed to stop. Oh, Is this bordering a cry for help? Is that where we are with him? And did he do the interview in a full black face mask?
Yeah, he had a full mask. Like, no one knows what he looks or sounds like.
Like he's in Black Man Group, that kind of thing? I mean, what the?
I don't get it. Wow. But somewhere in the world, Britney Spears is sunning herself, relaxing, thinking, I went through a conservatorship. For this, he's still roaming at large.
I don't know, man. This is, like I said, the guardrail's that thing behind you for him, I think, right now. By the way, I heard Britney's having a baby again.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's nice. It's good for her, man. I'm glad. That's wonderful news. A blessing. A surprise, I bet. Just like you were, Matt. Yeah. It's Cairo Nights. We'll be right back. Nice choice, man.
Think of all the elves digging the coal for the naughty, naughty people of the world. They're working overtime just to supply Ye and Elon.
Oh my gosh!
Is a full day's work.
Wow. Speaking of Elon, we can't touch on the Twitterer, the twit in charge,
the twit in chief. He
the tweet in chief. Wow. Without mentioning his brain implant plan. He's got a company called Neuralink. I guess it's his company, right? One of his companies.
Yeah, Neuralink is one of
his
Musk's
endeavors.
Projects, yes.
Okay. And what it is a computer chip that goes inside a human brain. And Matt, you were talking about this off air with me because you know a little bit about this. The technology is being explored to help those with physical limitations, whether through accident, someone who has a spinal injury, or someone who was born with some neurological inhibitors, I should say, right?
Yeah, I believe, I'm not going to recall the full science, but I believe one of the test cases was someone who...
It was a guy in England, right?
Yeah, he couldn't control his spine, like neurologically.
Right.
There was no feeling or control of his spine. And supposedly, if this Neuralink works the way they hope it does, it would regain his function, basically. He could possibly walk again, which is pretty amazing.
That is. So Elon the Great and Powerful says they hope to have implants in the human brain. Computer implants in the human brain within 6 months. I don't know how you feel about, foreign things in your body. I mean, medical miracles are happening every day. You know, whether it's a new hip, a rod in your bone and in your leg. All the things that we do, but spinal fusion, metal plates throughout our bodies that have helped people walk again, continue to walk later into life. Eyes, they're doing amazing, amazing things these days.
Yeah, the initial uses of this seem pretty positive, but where it gets weird is later on where he's made statements that he thinks that humanity can't keep up with the advancements in computing technology without this sort of artificial enhancement.
So the problem is to slow the roll on how smart we make computers. The answer is to make us a little more
right. So instead of
computer pack compatible,
keeping technology in the place of being a tool that human beings use, Elon is saying human beings need to become more like computers to compete.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I suppose they'll take us over or something. I don't know.
So I'll be warming things up for my microwave at some point. Yeah, that's where he's going. Yeah, stay in your lane. The phrase comes to mind sometimes with this guy.
There are some things where it seems to be you reach a certain point in your life, you have a certain sized ego, and maybe you start messing with things that shouldn't be messed with, like nature and the human identity.
Well, that's a fair point and a real concern. When you got somebody with more money than anybody else in the world that can literally get his fingers into everything, that he wakes up one day, and I want to try whatever, I want to try optical implants, who knows? Maybe I can fix Spike's tongue so that he can get through a whole show without falling all over his words. I mean, who knows? Have a dream, But to be fair, this is exactly what Thomas Edison was doing. He wasn't trying to inject himself into every aspect of our lives, but he had thousands of inventions, thousands of ideas. Da Vinci was the same way, right? The guy paints, of course. He also invented, like, the helicopter and his artwork for anatomical figures were pioneering for medicine in his era. I mean, these guys, and I know I'm putting Elon Musk into the same category as Da Vinci and Edison, but I bet his IQ is not far off from those guys. He has done some things that we can all admit that have benefited all of us greatly. He's trying to pioneer space travel at least make it feasible to have commercial space travel, much like Tesla, which he didn't invent, by the way, but it's his company. I saw an article about a week ago of the two guys who actually started Tesla. But somebody had to bankroll that act, and that was Elon Musk. And, that was maybe the tipping point for electric vehicles becoming reliable and affordable enough to earn their place in the marketplace and maybe tip the scales away from burning ourselves to the ground till the Earth is just a little ashy cinder rotating around the sun with the moon looking around like, where the hell they go, you know? But putting a chip in somebody's brain, that might be a bridge work too far, man. And it's amazing. I think you pointed out to me, too, earlier today that the folks who are so convinced that Elon Musk is going to be the savior of the free speech and right-wing conservative Christian evangelical movement, going to get them their place back at the town square of Twitter, right? That he's our guy. Elon Musk, champion of freedom, wants to put the mark of the beast inside your brain. Now, what do you think?
Right. Like there is in the more advanced versions of his plan, not so much the medical stuff, get that, but in some of the things that he's doing, which they lean into a movement way too deep to get into much here tonight, but it's called transhumanism. It has nothing to do with transgender. It's transhumanism, which is a philosophical movement advocating the enhancement of human condition by technology. So you could construct a worldview where Elon Musk primarily is a transhumanist or a technologist who believes that these fusions are healthy and spiritually acceptable. But I think some people's religious beliefs will conflict with that. Who may be admiring him right now, and that's going to become an ethical conflict.
They'll have to ask themselves, which God will you honor? The one up in the sky or the one?
Certain Trent Reznor song comes to mind.
Yeah, amen. Wow. Cool. Technology. Speaking of, he's looking like a RoboCop. That's what he's, is that what trans, what'd you call it, transhumanism?
Transhumanism is, yes. Yeah. So that's the
basic
idea.
A hybrid, right? A mechanical human hybrid?
Right. So technologies such as, and I had it here for a second, but it's like bionic.
Yeah.
Things.
Steve Austin was transhuman.
Things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hey, let's face it, we're already learning to crawl in that direction. We talked about fake knees and fake hips and spinal adjustment and all the things that we do. The chips that we are already talking about using for medical reasons are telling the arm to do something because we have a biological neural pathway that's broken.
I think the dividing line here would be things that involve thinking and free will. If this implant is doing
mechanical
for you,
or making
decisions for you,
right,
in control over your body, that would be a violation of human sanctity.
Well, yeah, and probably wouldn't let you do it for the SATs. We could just pop in a program like, was it Neo in The Matrix?
The Matrix, yes.
Right. All of a sudden, you're a kung fu master in 8 minutes, or you can fix and fly Bell helicopters in 2 minutes. You know, download that program. Hey, man, we're all moving fast. We're all progressing fast.
Well, let's hope we don't lose our humanity in the process of quote-unquote progress.
Hear, hear, man. Hear, hear. That's those guardrails we keep talking about. Have the talk with your kids. Yeah, you can be replaced by a robot.
Well, the robot would actually do their chores.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, don't get me started. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. Matt Butler's at the board. We appreciate you guys being along for the ride. Be right back after these.
Bells will be ringing. The sad, sad news.
This song, but it's not a cheery song, man.
It always puts me in a good mood, but then we know I'm already so depressed most of the time that this is actually upbeat for me.
Well, it's you know you're not alone.
That I'm listening to.
Is this Don Henley or is this the Eagles?
It's the Eagles.
Okay, gotcha. Yep. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, everybody. There was a story that Lisa gave us earlier about that restaurant that was broken into, Vito's up on First Hill. Vito's is an iconic Seattle business, small business on First Hill. Great restaurant. Nice people. Jeff Scott's co-owner. And they've been closed since June because of a fire. apparently were broken into over the Thanksgiving weekend. And the story was that it's on MyNorthwest.com that someone stole a stuffed cougar from the cougar room. Cougar's been on display for the last 12 years, named Barbara. About $15,000, by the way, what a stuffed cougar, taxidermied cougar, brings on the street these days.
I haven't priced them lately.
I mean, neither. I was in the story. It's not like I'm shopping for stuffed animals, not at least not the real animals. They're offering a $2,000 reward. But it's the other stuff in the story that scares me, that they stole a disco ball, which is, you know, who wouldn't? But copper pipes and wiring were stolen in the break-in, which makes me deduce that that's what they're selling. That's the valuables. You know, there's so many stories where copper wiring's been stolen from streetlights, from, you know, projects, city projects, and copper plumbing from homes. You know, you think people get into your car with a Sawzall in a parking lot and steal your catalytic converter for the minerals inside, the metals inside. Getting in somebody's house, construction projects are hit for copper plumbing. And the drug addicts sell these in bulk, man. They sell them for pennies on the dollar, and that's how they get their fix. I mean, so if you see I won't make that joke. If you get any wind of the stuffed cougar around town, it's a $2,000 reward. Boy, if you know those suffering from addiction who may have stolen Barbara, if you have any inclination or any contact whatsoever, do the right thing. You know, I'm sure that's a no questions asked kind of a reward. You know, at least it ought to be.
We'll hope for one of those heartwarming holiday stories where it's returned freshly washed and with a bow on it.
You know, I hate the thought that we'd have to have like a replacement cougar sitting in there, a nice older woman in her late 40s, early 50s. You know, nice, you know.
What's Jennifer Coolidge doing these days?
Courtney Cox. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. These poor folks at Vito's, man. You know, you went through a business fire and you're getting close to reopening and somebody breaks in. That's just the worst feeling. Just being violated by crime. Just the worst, man. We want to change the mood. Let's tell you real quick about how you can qualify to win Seahawk tickets. We'll do that right here. The code word for today, if you'd like to see the Seahawks take on the 49ers at Lumen Field on December the 15th, go to MyNorthwest.com/win. That'll take you to the events and contests section of MyNorthwest.com. And you type in the word huddle, H-U-D-D-L-E, huddle, not cuddle, not huddle with a T, H-U-D-D-L-E. And you could be a winner for a pair of tickets to see the Hawks and 49ers at Lumen Field on December the 15th. A game that's likely going to have, if not for first place, a lot of implications on whether or not the Hawks are a playoff team. Hawks will be down in L.A. this weekend. They'll be home next weekend against the Panthers, and then the following tickets for that against the 49ers. A lot of fun. A lot of fun on that one. Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm ready. I'm ready. Ready for Christmas. We don't have time to play another song here, another of our Twisted Christmas songs. So we'll maybe do it on the backside of the break. We'll do that. Sounds good? I got a couple I want to get playing. And and I want to talk about the story of the Ohio judge and creative sentencing from judges. And, you know, crime sucks. Criminals should pay the price. Absolutely. You know, we're a nation of laws. And we often hear that phrase, you know, without being a nation of laws, it's literally the wild, wild west out here. And nobody wants that. Whether you're stealing stuff, cougars, or maybe trying to commit voter fraud or whatever it might be. It's a great story in Ohio about a judge who really used the power of the bench, I think, pretty effectively, if not creatively. It's Cover Nights. We'll be right back after these.